Welcome to the Online Therapist, where the recurring theme is that the problem was never really your difficult partner, your lack of willpower, or your failure to just leave already.
Dr. Nicholas Jenner's recent posts cover two territories that turn out to be deeply connected: how the self gets quietly erased inside relationships, and whether forgiving the people who started that erasure is actually required.
Let's start with that loss of self and what it costs.
The question here is how a person ends up so adapted to others that they genuinely cannot answer the question of what they want and what that pattern is actually protecting.
The post on the false self puts it plainly. Identity is being exchanged for acceptance.
That exchange starts early. The false self is framed not as deception, but as a survival strategy built in childhood, where expressing needs was punished and compliance was rewarded with safety. What works at 7 becomes a life sentence at 37.
And the cruel irony is that it feels like love, which is why it is so hard to name.
Right. The post describes someone being praised for being supportive and easygoing while feeling privately resentful, because their actual needs are invisible. The version of them being loved is not who they truly are, so the love itself cannot land.
So insight alone does not fix this, which is exactly what the post on understanding yourself addresses. It argues that recovery happens through repetition, not revelation, which is why the audio program described there was built around hearing healthier perspectives often enough to replace old emotional programming.
And the IFS piece adds another layer. The part of you that cannot leave a harmful relationship is not weakness. It is a protective part that learned, usually in childhood, that holding everything together was the price of safety. Pressure and shame make that part dig in harder, not let go.
So the self goes into hiding, and then one of its jobs becomes making sure it stays hidden. Which brings us to where a lot of that hiding began, with the parents who made it necessary.
The post archived under the title, "It's Okay Not to Forgive Your Toxic Parents," opens a question the helping professions have largely closed too quickly. Is forgiveness actually required for healing, or has it become a way to skip the hard part?
The argument is blunt. By proclaiming forgiveness, sometimes when not ready, just avoidance tends to happen.
The upshot is that premature forgiveness relocates the blame. When the proclamation arrives before the emotions are processed, what often follows is a shared pretense that things were not as bad as both people know they were. Responsibility moves inward, onto the person who was harmed, instead of outward, onto the people who did the harm.
For codependents specifically, that inward blame is not a bug in the system. It was the system.
Exactly. The post describes codependents who enter therapy having already forgiven their parents and then spend the session demonstrating the opposite. The anger, sadness, and confusion are still there, held, not resolved. Forgiveness placed at the start of healing, the argument goes, belongs at the end, and only after the people who caused the harm have actually earned it.
Which, for a lot of people, they never will.
And that has to be a livable outcome. The post is clear that toxic or abusive parents have to earn the right to be part of their adult child's life. That is not a given, even if the parents believe otherwise.
So the thread running through all of this is that the self gets shaped around other people's needs very early. And then a lot of adult life is spent either maintaining that shape or slowly recovering the one underneath it.
And recovery, on this account, is less about understanding the pattern and more about building the tolerance to live differently inside it, which takes longer and requires more honesty than most people expect.